الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، today I want to speak to you about a very important topic and I request you to listen to it carefully because I'm going to give you many dalail, many proofs of whatever that I'm going to be saying, inshallah. The khutbah then, once it is over, will be available, both the recording as well as the text, on the website. So do take a look at that when you go home. I want to talk to you today about the business of relationships. Every relationship in the world has two things that are associated with it. There is a benefit that we derive from the relationship, and there is a responsibility that we owe to the relationship. Any relationship that does not benefit ceases to exist, even if it began and even if it lasted for a while. Very soon, every intelligent person will come to the conclusion that they are being taken for a ride and that they are gaining nothing from the relationship, and they will move away from it. On the contrary, a relationship that is beneficial will attract you to itself, will be constantly strengthened, and you happily invest in it continuously because you realize how you are gaining from it. Needless to say, the benefit can be material, for example money or friends or fame or happiness, or it can be non-material, which is spiritual peace, enlightenment, commitment to a cause, getting converts, ideology, and so forth. Let me give you a few examples. The relationship of parents to children. Parents gain from the love of their children, both being loved by them and being able to love them. Parents believe that they gain so much, in fact, that they are able to make little of all kinds of sacrifices for their children to bring them up. Parents make a lot of sacrifice, but they don't really consider it to be a sacrifice. They continue to make the sacrifice. Sadly, many grown-up children don't see the same level of benefit from continuing the relationship. So they need to be motivated either by the promise of reward or by the fear of punishment to do even a fraction of what their parents did for them as they were growing up. There is, of course, a biological explanation for this relating to the continuation of species and the discarding of those who have reached their productive end. But I remind myself and you that to transcend biology is the meaning of being civilized. To act for reasons other than species survival is to prove the existence of reason itself, for it is reason that distinguishes us from animals. To pay for this gain, there are responsibilities that each must fulfill. Parents, the responsibility of tarbiyah, and children, the responsibility of khidmat. Another relationship, the relationship of the employer and the employee. This is easy to understand, where the employer gains from our work and we get paid. We continue to work happily as long as we feel the equation to be in our favor, or at least fair. The employer will continue to employ us for the same reason as long as he feels that the equation is in his favor or fair to both parties. As soon as this equation is seen as one-sided, the relationship ends. To pay for the benefit of employment, the employee has to fulfill his responsibility of being productive and loyal. The employer, to pay for the gain of having the employee work for him, must fulfill his responsibility of paying him and taking care of him and providing him with an environment in which he or she can be productive. Third relationship, the relationship of a husband and a wife. Once again, this relationship is formed on the basis of mutual benefit and breaks when one or both see that they are not gaining from it. For the benefit of having a home, which is a place of mutual love, respect, harmony, and pleasure, the husband must fulfill the responsibility of providing for it materially. In order to be free from the problem of earning a living and to benefit from being cared for, the wife must fulfill her responsibility of creating a home that is a joy for the husband to return to, both must fulfill the responsibility of mutual good treatment. Third responsibility, a fourth responsibility, the responsibility, a fourth relationship, the relationship between a citizen and his country. The country provides the benefit of affiliation of being a citizen, the opportunity for employment, the opportunity to live in safety and guarantee certain rights. The citizen pays taxes, follows the law, and is obliged to defend the country if necessary with his life in case the country is attacked from elsewhere. Failure to fulfill this responsibility to the country can be very costly for the citizen. I am sure you can think of many other relationships that we form and break all the time throughout our lives, and you will see how this model of a relationship from which we derive a benefit and to which we owe a responsibility. I am sure you will see how this model applies to all of these relationships. Interestingly, this model applies even to our relationship with non-human inanimate things. For example, our relationship with pets and plants and associations and clubs and gadgets and cars and holidays. The same model, that there is a benefit, and if we want to enjoy the benefit, we have to fulfill a responsibility towards that thing which gives us the benefit. This model applies across the board to animate as well as inanimate things in our life. Where the benefit disappears, we stop fulfilling the responsibility. Where this mutuality exists in all relationships in life. However, there is one truth about all the relationships of this life, and that truth is that they all end before or with our death. Some end before we die for a variety of reasons, which I am sure I don't have to elaborate here. But every one of them, no matter how deep and strong, no matter how powerful and beneficial, no matter how much you love it or hate it, ends with death. Death frees us from all worldly relationships. Except two. There are two relationships that we have, all of us, Muslim or not Muslim, that we enter this world with and which go with us when we leave this life. These two relationships are not of our own making, though we have been given the choice to accept our responsibility towards them or to reject it. But the choice is not free. It comes with consequences. If we accept and fulfill our responsibility, we earn reward. If we don't, the responsibility that we owe to them still remains, because we continue to benefit from them whether or not we accept them. And that is why if we don't fulfill our responsibility towards them, we would be held culpable and would be liable for punishment on the day when we will all be gathered in the place of gathering, the day of judgment. These two relationships, my brothers and sisters, are our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with his Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathira. Let us look at these two relationships. Our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists because we owe our very existence to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as our continued well-being. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us about. Our relationship with Allah, who created us and sustains us and provides us with everything we need, comes with the responsibility of worshipping only Him without partners and of thanking Him for what He has given us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O mankind, worship your Rabb who created you and those who came before you, so that you may become al-muttaqoon. Surah Al-Baqarah. Then Allah reminds us of the fact that to Him is our return. See the tone of this ayah, which is asking a question about how neglectful and ungrateful we are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ كيف تكفرون بالله وكنتم أمواتا فأحياكم ثم يميتكم ثم يحييكم ثم إليه ترجعون. Allah says, how can you deny Allah? كيف تكفرون بالله? How is it possible that you may kufr? How is it possible that you deny Allah? وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا, seeing that you were dead, فَأَحْيَاكُمْ, and He gave you life, ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ, then again He will give you death, and again He will bring you to life, and then unto Him is your return. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of His favor upon us in creating us and endowing us with faculties, with intelligence, and giving us life for which we are seldom thankful. Thankfulness, my brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, is the responsibility that must be fulfilled in return for enjoying a body and a mind that works, even if only some parts of it work. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ذَلِكَ عَلِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ الَّذِي أَحْسَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَهُ وَبَدَأَ خَلْقَ الْإِنسَانِ مِنْ طِينٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلَ نَسْلَهُ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ مَاءٍ مَهِينٍ ثُمَّ سَوَّاهُ وَنَفَخَ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِهِ وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Allah said, that is He, the all-knower of the unseen and the seen, the Almighty, the Most Merciful, who made everything He created good. And He began the creation of man from clay. Then He made His offspring from semen of worthless water. Then He fashioned him in due proportion and breathed into him the soul. And He gave you hearing and eyesight and understanding. Little is the thanks that you have to give. A man came to Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and he was the Khalifa. And the man was very poor and he was not well, he was sick. And he came to Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and he said, what do I have to be grateful for? He said, look at me, look at my condition. You see, I should be grateful for what? Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu asked him, he said, can you pass water without pain? The man said, yes. He said, then be grateful to Allah for that. Because there are people who can do that only with great difficulty and pain. For the believers in particular, I've recited for you ayat and I've given you proofs with regard to our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the basis of being human. But there is a specific additional relationship and specific additional benefits of being Muslimin. For the believers in particular, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned our relationship with Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Anbiya, إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُونَ. And He said in Surah Muminun, وَإِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاتَّقُونَ. In Surah Al-Anbiya, Allah said, truly, there's only one word which is different in these two ayats, which is at the end. Allah said, truly this ummah, what is the ummah? The ummah is a nation that is based on Islamic brotherhood. It is not a nation which is based on race or nationality or political affiliation. It is a nation that is based on ideology, on belief. Allah said, truly your ummah is one ummah, and I am your Rabb. The relationship of the Ummah to the Rabb. Remember this, because we are going to look at how this is important. Allah said, this your Ummah is one Ummah, and I am your Rabb. Fa'budun. Therefore, worship only me. And in Surah Muminun, Allah said, this your Ummah is one Ummah. Your nation is one nation. And I am your Rabb. Fattaqun. So obey me, fear me. To worship Allah and to obey Allah, both go hand in hand. A person cannot say, I accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as my Rabb, but I will not pray. If a person says, I accept Allah as my Rabb, but I will not make salah, that person is, he's a kafir. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, bainana wa bainahum as-salah, wa man kafara
ومن أرادها فقد كفر. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. He said, between them and us is the salah, and the one who denies that is a kafir. He did not say the one who denies Allah is a kafir. The one who denies Allah is a kafir anyway. But the one who denies salah, who denies an order of Allah, is also a kafir. Because by denying the order of Allah, he is denying Allah. If a person denies one ayat of the Quran, if a person denies one word of the Quran, what happens to that person's iman? It's gone. The person is not denying Allah. He is not even denying the whole Quran. He is denying only one ayat of the Quran. But the hukum is that even if he denies one ayat of the Quran, even if he denies one word of the Quran, that person is a kafir. Because even though he did not say that he does not believe in Allah, because to deny the kalam of Allah is to deny Allah. Please understand this relationship. This association, this relationship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, Ana Rabbukum. Ana Rabbukum, Allah said this, I am your Rabb. This relationship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described is a relationship which is a special mercy of Allah. And He chose to distinguish and to elevate and to choose the Muslims by their relationship to Him. And He pointed out our responsibility towards that relationship, which is two. What is the relationship of Allah as the Rabb? To worship Him and to obey Him. The believers have a special position and special privileges for which they have to fulfill the responsibility that is associated with those privileges. As I mentioned to you earlier, what is the model? Every relationship comes with a benefit, and every benefit has to be earned by fulfilling responsibilities. There is no such thing as a relationship which is beneficial but for which we have to do nothing. There's no such thing. About Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded all of mankind. Once again, if you look at the ayat of the Quran with regard to Allah and His Messenger, there are two kinds of ayat. There is a relationship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all of mankind, and there is a special relationship to the Muslims. Similarly with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a relationship to all of mankind and there is a special relationship to the Muslimin. About Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded all mankind about His greatest favor. What is the greatest favor of Allah? To provide guidance, and for that He sent His Messenger. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it is up to the people to believe in Him. And Allah said, however, if they do not believe in Him, nothing will change. Because the heavens and the earth and all that they contain belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anyway. See the majesty of the bayan of the Quran. This ayat is typical of this tone of command and the power of address. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ قَدْ جَاءَكُمُ الرَّسُولُ بِالْحَقِّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَآمِنُوا خَيْرًا لَكُمْ وَإِنْ تَكْفُرُوا فَإِنَّا لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O mankind, verily there has come to you the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the truth. So believe in him, that is better for you. But if you disbelieve, then in any case and certainly all that is in the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is ever all-knowing, all-wise. Allah ordered His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to introduce Himself to all mankind in terms of His relationship as the envoy, as the ambassador, as the Khalifa, as the Nabi, as the Rasul of our Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He showed us the first and foremost benefit that we derive from this relationship with the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is that we will be guided. There is nothing more important in life, my brothers and sisters, than to be guided on the right path. Neither money, nor health, nor wealth, nor strength, nor beauty, nor youth. Nothing is more important than to be guided on the right path. And that hidayah, that guidance, is the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khairul hadi, hadi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he said to his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, say, O Muhammad,
قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا الَّذِي لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ فآمنوا بالله ورسوله النبي الأمي الذي يؤمن بالله وكلماته واتبعوه لعلكم تهتدون.
Allah said, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O mankind, verily I am sent to you all as the messenger of Allah. Who is Allah?
The one to whom belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. La ilaha illahu, none has the right to be worshipped but him. It is he who gives life and causes death, yuhi wa yumit. So believe in Allah and his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prophet who can neither read nor write. Nabiyul Ummi, who believes in Allah and in his word, and follow him so that you may be guided. What is the benefit of following the relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What is the benefit of that relationship? That we will be guided.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly mentioned the responsibility of the messenger towards mankind in general. And what is the responsibility of the messenger towards mankind in general? To convey the message. That's all. Allah made it clear that to convince people or to compel them in any way to change is not the responsibility of the messenger. It is for the people to accept, and if they do, it will be for their benefit, and if they don't, it will only harm them.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ قَدْ جَاءَكُمُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنِ اهْتَدَى فَإِنَّمَا يَهْتَدِي لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَضِلُّ عَلَيْهَا وَمَا أَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ بِوَكِيلٍ.
He said, say, O you mankind, now the truth, which is the Quran and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have come to you from your Rabb. So whosoever receives guidance, he does so for the good of his own self. And whosoever goes astray, he does so to his own loss. And I am not set over you as a wakil to oblige you or to force you to obey.
Once again, however, for the Muslims, there is a special message. A message of great blessing, which points out the special favor on the Muslims that Allah has bestowed by sending Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first mentions this favor, and then he lists the duties of the messenger with respect to the believer, which are different from his duties with respect to general mankind. Please note that these duties are different from the responsibilities towards mankind in general. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتُلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُّبِينٍ.
Allah said, indeed, Allah conferred a great favor on the believers when he sent among them the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam from amongst themselves, reciting unto them his ayat and purifying them from sins and instructing them and explaining to them the book of Allah and giving them al-hikmah, the wisdom and sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. While before the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were in manifest error, in misguidance. My brothers and sisters, please note, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the coming of his messenger a great favor that he bestowed on the believers in particular. The favor is not associated merely with the personal presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Please understand, this favor Allah is talking about is not mentioned purely with the presence and the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it is equally associated with what he was sent to do. If any aspect of what he was sent to do is lost, the favor would lose its meaning. Since the risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is until the day of judgment, the work of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also until the day of judgment.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listed four responsibilities that he sent his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to fulfill. Number one, to present the revelation. Yatlu alayhim ayati. To present the revelation. Announce what was revealed by reciting the ayats. Number two, to prepare the people to receive guidance by cleansing their hearts from shirk and jealousy and hatred and envy and greed and lust, and to cleanse their deeds from sins, and to teach them about removing impurities from their bodies. The ground has to be prepared for the sowing of the seed. So once the message is recited and the person says, yes, I accept, this is from Allah, then the person has to be cleaned in order for this message to take root. Number three, to explain the message. It is not sufficient only to read and to recite. It has to be explained, to explain the revelation. Once they have accepted what is revealed and are ready to receive the guidance, then it must be explained to them in detail so that they understand it fully, for two reasons. One, so that they can apply it in their own life. And two, so that they can convey it to others. Number four, the fourth duty that the messenger was sent with was to physically and personally show and demonstrate what is to be done, how to apply what was revealed, as well as what to do when they face hardships when applying it or propagating it. Teach the truth and teach what to do when you face conditions because you preach. My brothers and sisters, the revelation consists of all these things. The word, its explanation, as well as its demonstration. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to protect it, He promised to protect all of it, not part of it. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun, when Allah said, verily we, it is we who have sent down the dhikr. What is the dhikr? The Quran plus the explanation of the Quran plus the demonstration of the Quran. That is the reason why when people came to Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha and said, tell us something about the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was her answer? What was her answer? Did she say, don't you watch him? Did she say, don't you see him? What did she say? She said, don't you read the Quran? What is the meaning of this? They are asking, tell us about the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she is saying, don't you read the Quran? They said, oh, our mother, tell us what is the meaning of this. She said, the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the living manifestation of the Quran. So if today somebody says that the word as in the written document is preserved, but the living manifestation is lost and corrupted, then what is corrupted is the mind of the person who is saying that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily we, it is we who have sent down the dhikr. What is the dhikr? The ayat of the Quran and their explanation and their demonstration by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and surely we will guard it. Allah has promised to guard His message. His message consists of the word and it consists of the explanation of the word. His message consists of the Nabi and it consists of all the things that He sent the Nabi to do. It must be clearly understood that it would be totally unreasonable and illogical to imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send His messenger with four clear duties and then would protect His output in only one of them and allow the other three to be corrupted, so that as a result even the one that is protected becomes impossible to use. Does it make any sense? The relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my brothers and sisters, is a divinely decreed relationship which continues to be valid and viable today and will inshallah remain viable like that in the same way until the day of judgment. May Allah continue to benefit us from this relationship even when we stand before His throne inshallah. Remember that since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed this relationship and He decreed that this be so, He protected it in all respects so that those who wish to benefit from it and be guided by it will be able to do so till the day of judgment. As for those who wish to deny that relationship under one pretext or another and thereby render themselves out of that relationship, then that is their choice with its attendant consequences of which they are well aware. I would like to invite you, my brothers and sisters, to reflect on all the benefits that we derive from our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to ask ourselves this question: are we indeed fulfilling our responsibilities toward them? Because as I told you, the benefit will cease if the responsibility ceases. If the responsibility is not fulfilled, the benefit will cease. Please remember that the benefits from a relationship will accrue only as long as the responsibility is fulfilled. If we neglect the responsibility, we will cease to derive the benefit. How dangerous to be so neglectful of a relationship which not only is critical in this life, but which, unlike other relationships, continues to be with us in the next life as well. Our relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the means of relating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, the Sahaba understood this better than anyone else. That is why in the famous story about the battle when they faced the Roman army, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma writes, he said, "We were like a white spot on a black bull." The Roman army was so huge and vast, and the army of the Sahaba was so small. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, son of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, says, and this is something which happened during the reign of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab as the Khalifa. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma says that we were like a white spot on a black bull. There was no hope of winning that war. There was no hope of escaping from there without being killed. And he said, then when we raised our hands, with the permission of our command of our Amir, we made dua. And he said, we raised our hands. And listen well what the dua of the Sahaba was. He said, we raised our hands and we called to Allah. And what did they say? They said, Ya Rabba Muhammad. They said, Ya Rabba Muhammad, Unsur Ummat Muhammad. They said, Oh Rabba Muhammad, help the Ummah of Muhammad. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, as we called, we saw the sky tear apart. And we saw Jibreel alayhi salam descending with his cavalry. And he said, we saw the tail of the Amama of Jibreel alayhi salam flying in the wind of the speed of descent. And he said, we saw the sun shine on the lances of the Malaika. My brothers and sisters, the Sahaba knew Arabic. The Sahaba knew Arabic. They knew how to make dua. Ask yourself, why did they not say Rabbana? Why did they say Ya Rabba Muhammad? Why did they not say Unsurna? Why did they say Unsur Ummata Muhammad? Because the Sahaba knew the value of the relationship of the Ummah. Allah said, you are one Ummah and I am your Rabb. Why? Because you are the Ummah. I am your Rabb and I have a relationship with you. Why? Because you are the Ummah of my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Sahaba understood this better than anybody else. So they did not say Rabbana Unsurna. They said, Ya Rabba Muhammad, Unsur Ummata Muhammad. My brothers and sisters, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent with the responsibility of creating a generation to carry on his message after him. The Sahaba were that generation. The first Ummatis of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were the people who were fulfilling their duty as the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when they needed help, they called on the one who sent Muhammad in the name of that relationship sallallahu alaihi wasallam. of being Ummati is of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba were the generation who had been taught by their teacher Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how to take from the treasures of Allah. They had been taught by their teacher how to take the help of Allah. They knew that just as it was their responsibility to fulfill the requirement of the relationship with Allah and His Messenger, it would be the responsibility of Allah to help them once they had fulfilled their side of the bargain. They had complete reliance that this would happen because they knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not go back on His word. They knew what Allah had promised. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, ta'in tansurullaha yansurkum, wa yuthabbit aqdamakum. Allah said, oh, you believe, if you help in the cause of Allah, He will help you and He will make your feet firm. So they went out in the path of Allah and they called on Him by the relationship they had with Him and with His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled His promise to them. Let us remember, my brothers and sisters, that even today Allah is the same, our relationship with Him is the same, our relationship with His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the same, and our responsibility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Nabi is the same. It is up to us to decide whether or not we want to fulfill that responsibility towards Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because those are the only two relationships that will go with us when we die. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to do what is pleasing to Him and what is of benefit to us in this world and the next. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We'll pray sunnah and then we'll do the khutbah.